Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Dale Lloyd had been an athlete his entire life. He was rarely sick, rarely injured. So when he went off to play football at Rice University, his parents weren't worried. Then came a practice in late September of 2006. It was supposed to be a light workout, but the team was coming off of a humiliating loss, and the coaches made them run a lot. Dale collapsed on the field during practice. By the next day, he was dead. He was 19 years old. The autopsy showed that Dale had sickle cell trait, not sickle cell disease, which can be debilitating, but the trait, something that's generally harmless, unless the body is pushed to the point of extreme exertion. It turned out Dale wasn't the first football player to die this way. At the time, sickle cell trait was the leading cause of death in college football. That changed in 2010, after Dale's parents sued the NCAA. As part of the settlement, the NCAA agreed to mandate testing for sickle cell trait at every Division I football program and to put protocols in place to protect players. The result was dramatic. Sickle cell-related deaths in college football essentially disappeared, which is why what happened at Bucknell University in July of 2024 should never have happened at all.
The NCAA have clear protocols. We want to know, one, did you have them? And then two, did you follow them?
Playing sports should never be a death sentence, and practice should not be killing athletes.
I'm Margot Gray. This week on Campus Files, what happened to Calvin Dickey Jr.? Okay, we are recording now. Again, if you need to take a break at any point, please just let me know.
Thank you.
I will have you start by introducing yourselves.
Sure. Nicole Dickey.
Calvin Dickey Sr.
Nicole and Calvin Dickey have been together for more than 30 years. They were college sweethearts. They were friends at first, but the spark was there from the start. And by junior year, they were dating. They got married just a few years after graduation.
When we met, Calvin was pretty firm at 18 that he was in no rush to have kids because he was in a situation where he helped his mom with his older sister's kids, and he just was a very responsible person, and he understood that having children came with a lot of responsibility at a very young age.
But waiting wasn't really an option. Nicole had undergone surgery for fibroids, Doctors warned her that having kids could be hard.
As a man, unfortunately, I always thought, you know, I just have kids whenever I want to. Pop them out, right? Life shortly humbled me.
We weren't able to get pregnant, and we went on a journey. We went to specialists and IVF clinics and talked to different doctors.
Nicole went through IVF 3 times. On the last attempt, she became pregnant, but she miscarried and had to deliver a stillborn child.
Trying to have a child and not being able to, the emotions, the fear, you know, it's just so much that I personally got to a point where I said, I can't do this.
After 10 years of trying to conceive, Nicole and Calvin decided to adopt. They got lucky. Almost immediately, they got a call from their adoption agency about a 3-month-old named Patrice. Overnight, they were new parents.
So we both took off work because at the time when we got Patrice, we had nothing. We didn't have a bottle. We didn't have a crib. We didn't have a baby rattle. We had nothing. And the week before I was supposed to go back to work, Nicole would go, Calvin, I think I need to take a pregnancy test. Wait, what?
Nicole was right. She was pregnant, miraculously. It was a baby boy. They named him after his dad, Calvin Dickey Jr. He'd go by CJ. Nicole gave birth 2 months early, so CJ was small at first. He didn't stay that way for long. By the time he started elementary school, he was towering over everyone else.
He was always the biggest kid, but he was one of those kids that would look out for the smaller kids, always stand up for his friends, like Jimmy, who was the more smaller kid, and always willing to befriend anybody.
I'm blessed because, remember, he was 6'5 and 290 pounds. I'm just 5'11, 210 pounds. So he skyrockets over me. So luckily, I didn't have to discipline him. So he was just a really, really good kid. I couldn't ask for anything better from a child.
CJ's size gave him an edge in sports. And as a kid, he played everything, karate, basketball. But his first real love was baseball. He started in Little League, then moved on to travel ball. And before long, the Dickey family schedule basically revolved around baseball tournaments.
Let me be very clear about something. I don't like sports.
Somebody don't understand the game.
No. I don't. And CJ made me love to see him. It's something about seeing your child do something that they put so much energy and effort into being good at. I loved every minute of watching him do something that he loved.
That's why Nicole supported CJ when he said he wanted to try football in high school, even though it scared her. CJ was a natural. He didn't just make the team. He became a standout player. He could play both offensive and defensive line.
Toward the end of his junior year, right after football season, is where he started getting looks and coaches started coming to the school.
CJ got a lot of interest from recruiters. It wasn't just because of his athletic ability. It was his academics, too. He had a 3.8 GPA. He got offers from multiple Division I schools. His parents were pushing for schools in Florida where they lived.
You're here, you're local, you have so many of your friends that are going to be going to USF. It would be great.
But CJ had his eye on another school, Bucknell University, a private liberal arts college in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania.
He knew the opportunities that Bucknell as an institution could offer him beyond football and the connections that he could make. We were proud that as a young man, he didn't want to follow the crowd. He wanted to make his own choice.
In his senior year, CJ committed to Bucknell and landed a scholarship. For his dad, it was particularly emotional. Back when Calvin was in high school, he'd actually gotten an offer to play college football himself, but he couldn't make it work financially.
I was really living through him a little bit with all the traveling and going visiting all the schools. Just imagine when I was growing up, his age, going off to college, and as a father, I wanted to give him that opportunity that I did not have. And I really pride myself in allowing him to have that opportunity. The hard part of that, of this whole story for me, is how it was taken away from him.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready for college requires a lot of prep. There's the paperwork, the forms, the dorm room shopping. And if you're a student athlete, you have to deal with even more requirements. Physical exams, medical records, all sorts of testing. Since 2010, that's included testing for the sickle cell trait.
We were at CVS going in for the last part of the vaccinations when we got the call from the school. And it's a trainer. And she says, well, we received your tests and you just wanted to confirm that you were aware that you have sickle cell traits.
Nicole wasn't surprised CJ had the trait. She was a carrier herself.
I personally didn't think anything of it. The extent of what I knew about sickle cell trait and why it was important was really around having, if you were to decide to have a child, to know your status of your partner and yourself.
If I also had sickle cell traits, CJ would have had what's called sickle cell
anemia,
which is the sickle cell disease.
Calvin had thankfully tested negative. That meant their son was in the clear. CJ could inherit the sickle cell trait, but not the disease.
The trait is that. The trait, right, is benign. I personally never experienced any issues. And again, CJ never had any issues from a health perspective.
And remember, CJ had played competitive sports his entire life without any issues. Plus, Calvin and Nicole didn't know the trait had ever been linked to deaths in college football. And nothing the trainer said that day suggested there was any reason to worry.
And it was a quick call where she said, well, I'll update this in the record that we talked. And that was the extent of it. There wasn't any, like, the reason why we're asking or please know that we're going to do anything different.
2 weeks later, in July 2024, the Dickies flew from Florida to Maryland and drove the rest of the way to Pennsylvania. CJ lit up when they got to Bucknell.
He loved the campus. It was so idyllic. It looks like something out of a movie. So he felt very good in his decision in selecting Bucknell.
CJ couldn't access his dorm until the afternoon, so his dad suggested they use the time to meet with his offensive line coach. Calvin wasn't at the meeting to talk about his son's football career, though. He wanted to make sure CJ was in good hands.
I need someone to just make sure that they're going to take care of him and make sure he's going to class, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and if he's not feeling well or someone reach out to me, let me know. I made sure he had my cell phone number and had mom's cell phone number. And he's like, sure, no, we're going to take care of him. You're gonna, no, you don't have to worry, Mr. Dickey, you don't have to worry. We're going to take good care of him. You bringing me a young man right now, and in 4 years, we're going to deliver a man to you. And you're not going to even recognize him.
That afternoon, the family moved CJ into his dorm. They took a photo of him smiling in front of his bed. That night, CJ stayed at the hotel with his family. He wanted one more night with them before football orientation started. The itinerary for the first day of orientation was relaxed. A team meeting, a check-in with medical staff, some technical work with the offensive linemen. The last thing on the schedule was a light workout for freshmen.
I think it was 3:30. CJ called mom and said, "Mom, hey, they won't allow me to work out. There's something with my either medical or something of that nature that I can't work out."
CJ sounded frustrated on the phone. He didn't want to miss the first freshman practice. Nicole tried to reassure him.
I said to him, "It's okay. You've got 4 years. You're going to be there. You know, this is just day one. If you don't get to work out on day one, it's okay. It's not a big deal."
About 10 minutes later, CJ called her back. He said everything had been sorted out and he was cleared to go into the weight room. He told her he'd see her for dinner. But less than 2 hours later, Nicole's phone rang again. This time, it wasn't CJ. It was a Bucknell athletic trainer. She said CJ had collapsed during practice and was being taken to the hospital. The trainer didn't sound alarmed, but Calvin and Nicole still rushed as fast as they could to meet CJ.
We had to wait a little bit in the waiting room while they were evaluating him, and then we got a chance to go back. And he was breathing a little heavy, but he could talk.
They asked CJ what had been happening when he collapsed. As far as they knew, it was supposed to be a light workout. CJ said some of the freshmen had messed up a drill, and the coach made them do up-downs or burpees as punishment. His parents would later learn that CJ, 6'5" and nearly 300 pounds, had been made to do 100 burpees.
He was just like, day one. You know, I'm a little embarrassed that I collapsed. And I was like, "It's okay, dude, that's not important. The most important thing is just to make sure you're okay."
The emergency room doctor pulled them aside. CJ's kidneys were failing. They needed to get him to a trauma center as soon as possible. The doctor tried to get a helicopter, but the stormy weather made it impossible. So CJ went by ambulance for the 40-minute ride to Geisinger Medical Center.
We get to Geisinger Intensive Care, and that's where they explained to us that this was going to be very, very serious.
CJ was suffering from rhabdomyolysis, rhabdo for short. It's what happens when muscles break down and release toxins into the body. People with sickle cell trait are especially vulnerable. They're up to 200 times more likely to develop it during extreme exercise. Over the next 48 hours, CJ's condition kept getting worse. He became disoriented. He didn't recognize his parents. His organs started shutting down, one by one. Doctors rushed him into multiple surgeries. One so urgent, they didn't even have time for anesthesia.
During surgery, his heart stopped. He had to be resuscitated. And they took him down to his room. And while he was en route, his heart stopped again. And they resuscitated him. And we went through that, I don't know, at least 4 to 5 times. I'm a person of faith. And I have never prayed so hard. And I wasn't going to give up until we got to the point where there was absolutely no way that he could make it.
That became clear on the afternoon of July 12, 2024. Calvin and Nicole made the painful decision to tell the doctors to stop trying to resuscitate CJ.
The entire time, I could not understand how someone as healthy, who had never had any issues, could collapse and get to the point where he just didn't even know who we were, that we were his parents at the end, and to have him go through what he went through, I just couldn't conceive how that was possible. So I kept questioning, like, I don't understand what kind of a workout would lead to this. How did we get to that point?
Answering that question would turn out to be a lot more complicated than Nicole or Calvin ever expected. June is here, which means it's finally time to reach for your summer wardrobe. And if you're trying to look good without overheating, Quince is your best bet. Their summer collection has all the warm weather staples: breathable linen, washable silk, and soft organic cotton. I now own their 100% linen pants in more colors than I'd like to admit. And the best part is that you get all that quality without the luxury markup. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a destination for elevated essentials across the home, from kitchen to bedding, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/campus for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/campus for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/campus.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The Homeworks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Calvin and Nicole were in shock. Just 3 days after moving their 18-year-old son into his dorm, he was pronounced dead.
This is a pain that would never go away. And as parents, this is one of those things that you felt that you let your kid down, because this is something that as an adult, as a parent, I should have known more about the sickle cell trait.
Calvin and Nicole would later learn that as CJ lay dying at Geisinger Medical Center, Bucknell President John Bravman was in the same hospital for routine medical tests. He'd texted football coaches to say he might stop by to see Calvin and Nicole Dickey. He never did. Instead, President Bravman sent Calvin a text message offering his prayers. Text messages, it turned out, were all the Dickeys would receive from the university. Even after Calvin reached out directly to the head football coach and the chief medical officer with news of CJ's death, the only person who called was the athletic director.
He talked to my husband and expressed condolences and asked if we would be open to them sharing that CJ had passed with the team.
Calvin asked about getting his son's belongings, but the athletic director told him they couldn't enter CJ's dorm. An investigation was already underway. They'd have to wait until it was over.
I was under the impression that if there was going to be an investigation, they were going to tell us what the investigation found. We were looking forward to that.
A month later, they still hadn't received a single update. The only thing they'd gotten from Bucknell was CJ's belongings sent in the mail.
we didn't even receive all the things from his dorm room that he never slept in. And there wasn't like an inventory list. There wasn't a point of contact if something was missing or broken. Some things were even broken.
It really paints a picture that someone did not care.
Over the next few weeks, the Dickies kept waiting for news about the investigation. They heard nothing.
We thought there would be a liaison from the president's office, someone just kind of reaching out, hey, this is what's going on, this is what we're doing. Just someone be in contact with us or our attorney at the time, and we didn't get anything.
Calvin and Nicole began looking into things themselves. They learned there had been multiple deaths linked to sickle cell trait in college football, enough that the NCAA had put strict protocols in place. Bucknell apparently hadn't followed them.
Within those protocols, it is very clear that on day one, there should not be any intense workout to the point where there would create a situation where a player could have rhabdo. Bucknell said that it was just a light workout. That's all we've ever heard. It wasn't too intense in the weight room, and still our son ended up with rhabdo. Something isn't adding up.
Around 3 months after CJ died, Bucknell finally reached out. The university said it would share a limited version of its findings, but only if Calvin and Nicole signed a non-disclosure agreement. The parents were desperate for answers, so they agreed. But when they got the information, it didn't answer their questions.
No real specific details that we were asking for. They did not care about us knowing what really happened to him.
Just being parents, our expectation was not something at a summary level when it came to something that resulted in our child's death. I want details. And we've thought about this for 18 months. And regurgitated and gone round in our brains. And we can't figure out what happened without those details.
With no answers from the school, the Dickies launched their own investigation. Their attorney hired more than 30 investigators who spoke with former employees and players, including several players who were in the room the day CJ collapsed. Here's what they learned. The workout where CJ collapsed was run by the team's strength and conditioning coach, Mark Kolbus. Every year, Kolbus led a workout for freshmen on the first day of orientation, what he called setting the tone for the season.
He takes the freshmen and he brutalizes them. He works them till they vomit. He works them out until they pass out.
This is the Dickey's attorney, Mike Caspino, speaking at a press conference.
Mark Kolbus had a workout with C.J. Dickey, a young man who's supposed to be eased into his practice. C.J.'s sickle cell trait diagnosis was given to all the coaches and was put on an electronic format for all the coaches, so he had to have known. Mark Kolbus just didn't care.
Players who were there that day told investigators that C.J. was clearly struggling. He was falling behind the group. But the coach didn't seem to care.
18-year-old kids saw that he was in distress, but Mark Kolbus, the strength and conditioning coach, made him continue. We've talked to NCAA coaches from all over the country. When they hear about CJ's case, they are dumbfounded because most schools create a culture of protection for sickle cell kids. The University of Kansas, we talked to their ex-head coach. Sickle cell trait carriers in their program wear red helmets. At the University of Miami, we've been informed, sickle cell trait athletes wear orange armbands because the coaches want everybody to know we don't overwork these kids.
Investigators learned something else, too. There was no athletic trainer present for the workout that day. That's an NCAA violation.
What we found in our investigation is that Bucknell University's athletic department has severe financial strain. Prior to this season, they cut half of their trainers. So, what do we have that happens? There's no trainer there. And I dare say that the trainer would have probably stopped Kolbus, would have probably stopped him from running this kid into the ground knowing that he had sickle cell trait. That's number one. Number two, they didn't even have an emergency action plan there.
The emergency action plan is pretty much what it sounds like. a detailed plan for what to do in a medical emergency. The NCAA requires one for every athletic facility. Bucknell didn't have one. That almost certainly delayed the fire department and EMTs from getting to the scene.
So there is a lot of culpability, we found out, on Bucknell's behalf. This was 100% preventable.
In April 2025, the Dickeys filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Bucknell University, its president, coaches, and members of the athletic department.
The Dickeys lawyers dropped a lawsuit claiming Bucknell knew CJ's blood had sickle cell traits, making him far more likely to get rhabdo. His parents say Bucknell won't share the results of its own investigation. They hope discovery in court will get them their answers.
I know the lawsuit is still ongoing. As of now, is it accurate to say that no one from the university has been held accountable?
No one was released from their position as a result of our son's death.
There is nothing that we can definitively say that happened as a result of CJ and what happened on that campus. I believe they may have postponed one practice. And while we fight for accountability, we keep trying to turn this pain into purpose and share, because the more we talk about him, the more people are aware, and they'll hopefully prevent this from ever happening again.
The Dickeys want this story to be heard. They want other parents to have the knowledge about sickle cell trait that they never had. If you've got a story idea, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email at campusfilespod@gmail.com. And if you're loving this podcast, be sure to click follow on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast hosted by Margot Gray and Ian Mont. Our executive producers are Leah Reese-Dennis and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont and Margot Gray. Sound design and engineering by Andy Jaskowitz and Zach Clark. Legal support by Laura Berman and Melissa Jean. Original music by Davey Sumner. Special thanks to Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Hilary Schuff, Eric Donnelly, Kate Hutchison-Rose, Sean Cherry, Kurt Courtney, and Lauren Vieira.
Hey, it's Anna Sale, host of Death, Sex, and Money, the show from Slate about the things we think about a lot and need to talk about more. Many of us have something going on behind closed doors, like a listener we called Elizabeth, who told us she's a hoarder.
I see mess beyond probably what most people think of when they think of mess.
We'll work through it all together on Death, Sex, and Money. Listen wherever you get podcasts.